is out there, and before the end of the month, we're gonna get the truth. Welcome to an all-new I Want to Believe here on the Podzilla 1985 podcast. My name is Shannon Young. I'm gonna be your host tonight. With me, of course, I'm the heart of the Ghostbusters. With us, of course, is the brain of the Ghostbusters, Double H, Hunter Hendricks.
I'm just vibing. And also, that slinky that we had, I had part of one, but I straightened it.
And the, what could she be of the Ghostbusters? The chick, Lindsay Wolfgang.
Soul?
Of course.
Well, I'm the heart.
Oh. I should have just went and took a nap.
That was awful.
Yeah. In case you couldn't tell by my dress and Hunter's hat. Not that Hunter's hat is anything special because he always wears cool hats. But I don't normally dress up in the old flight suit, but it is, or jumpsuit, but it is Ghostbusters Day in the United States and should be everywhere. Mm-hmm. So we're going to kick off the show with a little bit of celebration about Ghostbusters. Hands down, the greatest film of all time. No doubt about it. For those of you that are thinking, hey, what about you guys going to talk about the UFO thing? We'll feed you, baby bird. Give us just a couple minutes to get through the things here at the beginning, because we definitely got a lot to talk about with mm-hmm. there. But with it being National Ghostbusters Day, Hunter, I know that they did something today for the Ghostbusters. I think it's the cast from the new movie got together for some kind of event, but I haven't read about it yet.
Supposedly, yeah. And then they released doing some merchandising for the old mini puffs. That's a thing. I don't know if they're like figures or what it is. They're doing something with them. The Buffalo Ghostbusters, the guys up in New York, they presented Hook and Ladder 8 with a brand new sign. It's the Ghostbusters 2 sign.
Yeah.
So they did a whole like ceremony thing there and did that. And then they released like some limited edition t-shirts or something. I don't know. I really didn't see a lot yet. I was hoping we'd at least get like a new trailer or something, but I haven't seen that. All, Parker just
yeah, all you I can, hear him. All I can hear while you talk is just hey.
Bones.
He wants to know when's it gonna be his time to shine.
Parker, when's it gonna be your time to shine? That made him stop. That did it.
Well, yeah, he got the attention.
That's all it is.
He deserved.
Yeah, you just ask him a question, he goes, and then he quits.
Caleb said other countries don't acknowledge Ghostbusters. That better not be true. That better not be true. I'm going to start bombing other countries.
That would be a shame.
Yeah.
Shannon.
Whoa!
Verbally.
Photobombing.
Photobombing other countries. I'm going to fly out to China tonight and do something. I don't know.
Yeah, but you could imagine.
The flight suit that I'm wearing.
I know a guy.
Actually came from Hunter. The only reason I have it, they ordered an extra one.
Oh yeah,
and I got it, so appreciate that. This is my this is my Halloween costume every year because I'm too lazy to get new ones. But I do add to it every year. I got the proton pack. That's it.
You got a trap, didn't you? Or the goggles? Didn't you get one of the two?
No, I had special made goggles for my birthday that someone made me.
Ooh, I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we added, we got the suits. It's been ours for 3 years in a row now, mostly because we haven't wanted to mess around with it either, but we both have traps. She's got a PK meter, I've got the goggles, and then, like, all the little, you know, the walkie-talkie and stuff. But this year, lightsaber's back there.
I gotta wish
do something with that. Oh, look who's here who couldn't be here tonight.
What are you doing? Don't at work?
You are gonna get yourself in trouble.
This is the worst idea.
This is the worst.
This is the worst possible idea you could have had.
I'm on lunch. What are you talking about?
Well, I guess that's better. It's on. Hey, it's on. Don't show your name tag. That's the worst idea. Anyway,
I'm
Tanner.
I'm trying to.
Tanner, just aim straight up at your face, buddy. Tanner here joining us with us on the show. Tanner, we're talking about Ghostbusters because today is National Ghostbusters Day.
Nice.
There it goes. Well, he's still audio, I'm assuming. I would show you. Yeah. It's in the back there, but I've got my Egon. You can kind of see me pointing at it. My Egon Spengler new Ghostbusters Neutron wand. But
Oh, yeah.
It's slightly out of reach, and I don't feel like grabbing it.
Yeah, I don't think I debated about getting one of those guys, but I just don't think I have room back here. I think I'm filled up on the stuff I would have had, honestly. I got a little too much going on between the pops and the Legos and the I got no wand room. Plus, I got a wand on the proton pack. So. I have seen a lot of people have modded the spirit pack and they use the Spangler wand. Like, you can modify that to be part of it. They replace it. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, I decided to grab it because it is a very cool replica prop thing. I mean, from
Now,
the.
real quick, the tape on there, is that the Spetsnaz field grip or is that the Guru airborne elastic wrap?
This is Spetsnaz.
Like, does it give you. Okay,
Yeah.
so it gives you better flinch resistance and not aim down sight time.
Right. So,
Okay.
this
That's
thing's
good
good.
to know.
Whew. Boy, I would love to be an actual Ghostbuster just to be able to hold one of these things in real life and. Boy, that's the dream, isn't it?
There's something really wrong
Oh, there's something wrong with me, says. Okay.
you. Is that what he said?
Yeah. Hold
Yeah.
on. Let me put my wand back up.
Tanner showed up just to insult people. That's his whole. That's why he's here. This is the best show.
This is the weirdest show.
I looked away for a second. I looked back. Tanner's video's gone. Shannon's got the horse.
The horse
Lindsay's
neck.
on her phone. Horse
I'm
neck.
gonna mute my mic, so if I hear anything, I might jump back in, but I'm just gonna sit here and listen.
Okay. Michaela,
Okay.
is there, does it get hot in this jumpsuit? Yes, it is.
Yes.
It's not a matter of
Yeah, that's
does
why
it.
it's really
It's
nice.
yes, it does.
Yeah. The
Whew.
last couple of Halloweens, it has been pretty cold by the time the Halloween hits, and so the jumpsuit is nice
Yeah.
because it keeps you nice and toasty in there.
Agreed.
That said, it was also, when everyone was around on Halloween, I didn't crank the air in the house down to like 60 degrees because I think we were all just sweating. There's too many people.
Well, to be fair, I didn't go as a Ghostbuster for Halloween because
That's true.
Maria went with me and we both went as vampires because I always wanted to just be
Yes.
a sexy vampire. I got halfway there. I was a vampire. Damn
You're gonna do
this suit is warm.
that.
I could just
You have
feel
made a
it.
mistake.
I have made a mistake and I
How do you
want
not have a fan in there, man? I got two in this room alone right now.
to. Well, I mean, this room stays pretty cool normally. It's just this is kind of warm. And since I'm the one that talks the most, I hate the idea that that fan could come across. Because, like, whenever Jesse had his fan on doing the show, remember how loud that fan was in the background? I don't want
Yeah.
that. I don't want that to be a thing. So I'll suffer. They can't tell that I'm sweating profusely right now. Only I can.
You swear that you ate a
you said
piece
it
of
like
those
that dude in
drippings of
the.
grease earlier tonight.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
We order all right before we get
That's
into
no good.
before we get to the show. Quick Mendoza of the week is Little Caesars because I ordered pizza from them. Bob messaged me during the day. Hey, kids, you want to hear something spooky? Bob messaged me during the day, and he told me he needs me to try this new pizza at Little Caesars. And okay, Bob, I want to be a team player, so I'll do that for you. So it is a
Yeah.
pepperoni and cheese stuffed crust pizza. And I thought, that sounds pretty good. So we order it, we go pick it up on my way home from work. Lindsay's holding it, and I just hear her complaining. And I usually mute most of what she says and I don't hear it, but when she complains enough, I start to pay attention. So I'm like, "What is wrong? What are you complaining about?"
There was grease dripping out the box down my hand and arm onto the car seat.
Oh,
The pizza was so greasy that the grease was literally like the sides of the pizza were soaked and it was
Like the side of the
dripping.
box, there was like a good, like the bottom portion of the box the whole way
Oh,
around was just
like a
soaked in grease.
pool.
It was the most
Just a
disgusting
little
5-minute car
pool.
ride I've had in my life.
Yeah, it was pretty
Yeah, that's
gross.
nasty.
So
And there were no like
That's
napkins in the
pretty
car
gross,
for me to
yes.
attempt to like clean it up with.
So I ate the pizza.
That's too much.
And
Oh,
yeah,
no.
I opened up the box and when I looked inside, there was a lake. There was a yellow lake of grease. And I thought
Oh.
that's gonna make this pizza either really good or really bad. And the answer was yes. It was.
Tell me you did the napkin thing where you dab it for like a half an hour to get
Sort
some of
of.
that off of there.
Sort of. I held it over my mouth and let it drip into me,
Oh.
like an oil pan,
Oh.
you know?
Oh. Yeah.
So point is,
Yeah.
if you were to ask Shannon, is I want to believe ever going to
Gross.
be sponsored by Little Caesars? No, because they tried to kill me tonight.
No.
I messaged Bob and I told him what had happened,
Horrible.
and I said, never again. I don't want pizza for another year. That ruined me. Tomorrow I'm gonna need a nice fish sandwich. Okay.
Fish sandwich and some Courvoisier.
Or, you know what? You could have a nice chicken sandwich and you can go on to Podzilla 1985's Facebook right now and look at the tier list of chicken sandwiches. And
Which is completely
I saw
stupid.
that in the middle of the day.
And not to mention
Oh.
completely subjective.
Let me retitle that post for you. Jesse would like to argue now. That's all it was.
Yeah.
I saw the way it was posted, and I'm like, well, that's clearly Jesse's handwriting, for lack of a better term. And then at one point in time, he jumps in to defend his choices as Podzilla and then as himself. And I was like, well, all the pretense is out the window now.
Little pet peeve
Yeah,
of
he just
Shannon.
wanted to argue.
When people get on the Podzilla 1985 Facebook but don't log in as themselves and then they argue as Podzilla 1985, that bothers me. Don't do that.
Man.
Podzilla 1985 as a whole does not have an opinion. The people that do the show have opinions. But go check out that tier list. Argue with Jesse Kimball and Asa. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, really quick before we get
Way,
into
you better want pizza because we're having it Friday. It's Casey's, though. It's different. Jesse will tell you it's the best gas station pizza you can get.
Oh. I want to get Jesse a nice t-shirt that just says, "Can we?" Anyway.
Forgot about that bit. I like that bit. Oh, can we?
Oh, can we? Anyway, before we get into the meat and potatoes about UFOs, UAPs, and the report coming out to Congress by June 25th, Lindsay and myself, the Kaz man, who will be here, well, he was going to be here this Friday for horse sign, but apparently that's just happening there
Oh,
to my
yeah.
left.
We'll feed you, baby bird. Literally.
Jesse and Shelby, all five of us, we watched the new Conjuring film. This is
I liked
related.
it.
It was okay. It was interesting. If you like the other Conjuring movies, you'll probably like it. If you didn't like the other Conjuring movies, you probably won't
Why are
like
you
this one.
watching it?
It's the same thing. I did find out a couple of neat tidbits though about that story. So I wanted to talk about that just for a second, because if you don't know, the Conjuring films are based on the cases of Ed and Lorraine Warren, world famous paranormal investigators. Lorraine Warren was a psychic
Yes.
because Shannon doesn't believe in psychics. Don't at me. If psychics were real, then most of the world's major disasters would have been not nearly as bad. They wouldn't have been a disaster. So don't at me. But this particular one was about a guy named Arnie Cheyenne Johnson who murdered his I don't know if he was a roommate or if he was just a friend, an older friend, but he killed him, stabbed him to death, and was tried for it, and his defense was that he was possessed by a demon. That was his defense for this. This is a real case. This actually went to court. Spoiler alert, it didn't work. He was convicted of manslaughter and sentenced to 10 to 20 years. He only served 5. But the whole demonic possession thing was never, despite what they show you in this movie, because they very much make it seem like, okay, well, he has to go to jail because he killed the guy, but was he in control? Despite the movie kind of making you think that maybe they did accept this defense and they believed it, that's not actually the case. The defense was just a bomb in court, and he was convicted regardless. But couple of interesting tidbits about that. The guy that was killed, Alan Bono, this was the first ever recorded murder in the history of Brookfield, Connecticut. So that alone,
Yeah.
historic. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, I have nothing to add to that. I often wonder how many places there are out there who do not have a recorded murder. Like, how many cities, towns are there where it's like, if that happens, it really is legitimately the very first one?
Which you would think would have to be a small number at this point. I mean, my God, so much human history. Someone had to kill somebody.
The keyword is recorded.
The demon defense that they use, apparently Lorraine Warren is the one that called the police station and said that a demon had made him do it. The kid himself never claimed that to begin with and only said that he blacked out. He doesn't remember killing him. But he did say, and they put this in the movie, the quote, "I think I hurt someone," which is in the film. It happened a little bit different in real life. But the Warrens are the ones that suggested it. And, of course, I think my favorite part of this, I've got the story up here because I wanted to make sure I got my info right here. My favorite part of this was, unlike the movie, Ed Warren told People magazine in 1981 that there were 43 demons in the boy. 43 of them. Not just one.
43 in a row?
That's a pretty small space for that many demons.
That's a lot of demons. They never did
that many demons paid the troll toll
to get that boy's soul.
yeah, you're saying it right.
There was never an exorcism. And quoting the article here itself, the Bishop of Bridgeport refused to sanction the Catholic rite because the Glatzel family, which is the family of the accused killer, had not consented to the psychological testing required to eliminate mental illness as a factor. Because if you don't know, when it comes to demonic possessions, when it comes to exorcisms, the church requires a mental evaluation because they don't just go. I mean, if you don't know, exorcisms are a very real thing in the church. Like, it's not just something made up for films. They take it very, very seriously. Very few actual exorcisms are performed because there is so much rigorous testing to make sure that it's not a mental illness or, you know, fake or false in any way. So there is a lot that goes into actually having an exorcism done. They refused the psychological testing, and she quoted the mother's decision. She defended her decision, telling the Washington Post, "They just want to stick needles into my kid. There's no way in hell they're going to do that." So they wanted him to get exorcised, but they didn't want him to go through the psychological tests required to eliminate mental illness as a factor, which apparently involves having needles stuck in you, which isn't a thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't recall that ever being a thing.
They believe in the church. They don't believe in science.
Well, hey, Lindsay hit it right on the head. That is so much of the people we deal with these days.
Shannon, by the way, I'm dropping you a link here in the old Discord. There's some new promo images for Ghostbusters Afterlife that dropped today. I think this is the most recent bit of news. Nothing I don't think that we haven't seen before, except for like a couple of minor things. But that very first shot that they reveal, that's very clearly like a poster style shot, is extremely cool. That and then the house. Right. They've given an actual clear view of the farmhouse where the Ecto-1 is located. Well, that and actually the two shots.
Family crap.
Yes. And then the two shots of the long shots of the wand and the ghost trap, those would make really good wallpapers for your phone if they are high res and big enough.
I'm going to check that out.
And if there aren't already, somebody will have them there soon, I'm sure.
Let me click on that. And while that's loading, lastly, the last thing I want to mention about this, because this is the most striking thing to me. I like Ed Lorraine Warren. I think they're fascinating people. I've studied a lot of their stories, even before the Conjuring movies were a thing. But before the case even went to court, Lorraine speculated to some book or magazine or something, "Will we have a book written about this? Yes, we will. Will we lecture about it? Yes, we will." When she asked whether she had started talking to any movie producers about the case, she responded, "No, we're not. Our agents at the William Morris Agency are." So if you ever wondered why they do the things that they do, why most people in the biz do the things that they do, it's for money. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... all too often not only accurate but disheartening. Like, there's going to be a lot of times that you're going to get news and information and stuff out of this and find out that it's all because somebody was paying them to do it, which, you know, don't get me wrong, I don't like putting it this way, but Shannon, you know, so I kind of just identify with the Joker on a personal level. it's that bit, the one bit of his I really do like, or that was ever attributed to him, and it was the Ledger Joker, was that if you're good at something, never do it for free.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get it. I mean, I get a certain level of that, but yeah, anytime the word agent starts getting thrown around and it's not about the Men in Black, it starts getting a little disappointing.
That's my general problem when it comes to paranormal investigation as a whole. There's a mentality of, I don't believe it unless I see it, which is a good mentality to have because you don't want to be a sucker and fall for everything. But at the same time, if you rely on people, you know, like a lot of people will watch the Ghost Hunter videos and people like Zach Bagans and Ghost Adventures and kind of take that as truth. And you have to remember that they're on television. They're getting paid to do this. They're getting paid to make a show that draws ratings. It's hard to take it seriously.
Too much of it is entertainment and not
science,
like, scientific.
Right.
Not, well, let me rephrase that. Yeah, not meant to be altruistic is not the word I'm looking for, but not meant to just purely be fact-finding.
Yeah.
It's all built around entertainment. So.
Because most of the fact-finding...
And that's fine, and it should be entertaining because it's a TV show.
It's a TV show.
That's the problem is...
Yeah, most fact-finding is boring because nothing happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Which is science. I mean, yeah. Again, that's a whole lot of science in general is just... repetition and the stuff that's not that interesting to watch. I mean, the stuff that is, you know, gets its attention, but the stuff that's not is often the more important stuff, or at least what builds up to that point.
Quentin just asked,
and it's never going to be the kind of thing people want to watch.
Quentin said aliens with a question mark. Not yet. We're actually talking about ghosts, but it does kind of tie into the same thing because of all of these videos that have come out and that have been, you know, investigated by the government, so many of them can be explained via aircraft, Venus, whatever, you know, whatever excuse you've heard, weather balloon, all that stuff. Most of that stuff is that.
Yeah.
But there is a small amount of these sightings that are legitimate, and we're going to talk about those. That's what we're interested in here in just 1 second. And I had something else I was going to say and completely... I don't remember what it was now.
Okay. All right. You got three stories. We got stuff to look through. Be a man. Be a man. Go see Marvin's room.
Completely lost it. And I wanted to pick it up. All right.
Okay.
Let's get to the stories. All right. The first one I labeled as water is wet. The reason I did that is because if you went into this whole government UFO thing expecting anything other than stuff we already know, you're very... I don't want to be insulting. Point is... It is exactly what we thought it was going to be, from the sounds of it. Water is wet. The UFO craze is exactly what it was a couple of months ago before all this happened. But there is some things to talk about. Let's talk about them real quick. So the UAP Task Force is set to release its report by June 25th. That is the speculated date. That is not the exact date. It could be before, and it honestly could be after. They're saying that there's a good chance that it could be delayed due to various reasons. Hopefully not, although... Again, nothing is going to come out of this that you don't already know and that you haven't already seen. So if you're expecting the big reveal, you're not going to get it from this. However, with that said, one thing I am happy about is the sheer amount of time that the subject has been given on mainstream media. Because for the longest time, mainstream media would not touch UFOs with a 10-foot pole. And if they did, it was usually in a mocking tone or as something so ridiculous that it's more of a can you believe these people rather than can you believe what they saw. But in the lead up to this report, and I've been paying attention, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, every single news outlet has devoted time to UAPs, and none of them will talk about it without bringing up the possibility that extraterrestrials exist and that they are what are piloting these crafts. So... they are taking a very real thing, which is crafts of unknown origin invading our airspace. And instead of just talking about it as that, they're still tacking on the extraterrestrial part to it. And do you think that is a bad idea? Do you think that is going to always, like, I don't want to say poison, but kind of dilute the overall importance of what they're actually trying to figure out? Or is it just a natural add-on?
I think it might honestly be a bit of a deploy because a lot of people still won't take the extraterrestrial part seriously, but if they're worried that it's some other country that's possibly doing stuff to us, then people would panic. More so than the outer space end of things, just because that's how people are.
That's kind of what I was going to say. When it comes to, I mean, I often hesitate to use the phrase mainstream media because it sounds like that term has been poisoned in general. But yeah, on a very neutral level of mainstream media, literally large media companies that produce news, they're always going to have to approach this from every possible aspect, mostly because those two are just so intrinsically linked at this point. You can't talk about these things without at least mentioning that they, could possibly be something of extraterrestrial origin, just because of the fact that that's the way that they've been linked in popular culture for so long. To try to not do it now would be paddling upstream, because all you're going to do is invite the hardcore conspiracy theorists. Well, why didn't they mention that? Why didn't they mention that was a possibility? And like Lindsay said, the exact opposite. You're going to lose the attention of anybody who's on the cusp of, cursory paying attention to it. Because if it's not that, then you may not, quite hold their attention. If you're not exploring both possibilities anyway, I don't think you're ever going to be able to get away from that at this point. Those two things are linked, whether it is the case or is not. Probably not in our lifetime will we know exactly whether or not that was ever the case. I think you have to. I think you have to do it.
Well, I think that with everything that I've read and the reports that I've heard and the things I've studied, I very much went from, and it depends on who you believe, but I went from someone who I saw the importance of this whole thing as what if it's a foreign entity? What if it's a foreign government that's doing this? And we need to know about it. That was my thing, is we need to know about it. If there's a foreign, and by the way, I turned my light off because with this suit on, it's just too hot with that light blaring in my eye. So forget that light tonight. Plus this looks spookier. This sets a mood. So, I was very much on the idea of this is a foreign power that's invading our airspace. We need to know what it is. And I've started to turn around to the real possibility that this could be extraterrestrial in nature. And the reason that I do that is I've been reading up and watching a lot of the reports from various Navy, chiefs of staff and pilots that have seen this stuff. And of course, Luis Elizondo, who was the head of the Pentagon UFO Investigation Unit, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. And something he said, it was to NBC News. He was talking about the, oh, Jesus, Hunter, don't do that. That's a mood that I don't want to set.
Sorry, I'm trying to settle on one. Oh, there we go. That's nice and spooky.
He says that he is afraid that the findings that are going to come out are going to be watered down, that they're not going to release the full information, that the videos that we have seen so far are the least compelling that he's ever seen, which is saying something, because the videos that they've shown so far have been the catalyst that has captured everyone's attention and made them stand up and pay attention to this. And he was doing an interview with somebody, I forget who it was, I apologize, but they asked him about these crafts. And this is a direct quote from him. He says, and this should scare everybody. This should scare you. Imagine a technology that could do 6 or 7 G-forces, that can fly at 13,000 miles per hour, that can evade radar, that can fly through the air and water and possibly space, and oh, by the way, has no obvious signs of propulsion, no wings, no control surfaces, and yet can defy the natural effects of Earth's gravity. That's precisely what we're seeing. I want to add on that they've also said that there's no cockpit on any of these vehicles. So you literally have a cylinder shaped vehicle, they keep calling it the Tic Tac, that has there's no way that they can do what it is that they said that they're doing. There's no way that they can behave and fly. They shouldn't be able to fly at all. There's no propulsion. There's nothing that should be able to do this. So when I thought, okay, well, maybe this is a foreign government, when you start to hear what they're talking about and read what they say, it doesn't sound like it's government. It doesn't sound like it's a foreign power. This very much sounds like technology we do not have on Earth.
I think something that really gets overlooked a lot there too, that you brought up, is worth, I think, discussing, or at least mentioning, is that lack of a cockpit. The traditional UFO story is always, other than abduction stories, we're talking about strictly it's here. We collected it. It did something. As always, it crashed. We pulled the little green man out. We only really care about that. The saucer is whatever. I don't think it gets discussed enough as a possibility of, let's say, for sake of argument, that this craft is not, you know, terrestrial in origin. Why do we immediately believe that it would have someone or something in it?
Yeah.
What would be the benefit of putting, I mean, we don't send, mostly because of technical limitations, but we don't send people beyond a certain reach. You know, human beings don't make it beyond the International Space Station, or how much, I don't think they can go much farther than that, other than just like walks outside of that anyway.
Well,
we're not sending people to Mars. Not yet, anyway. I mean, we send rovers. We send, you know, technology that can handle that, where we don't, our fragile, you know, forms don't have to go. If we are so, depending on how you want to look at it, arrogant or believing that, you know, other species or races or whatever you want to call them are that much like us, why would they send an actual being? You would send something that can stand the test of time forward to relay that information back.
Well, you could even discuss the same thing. I mean, look at foreign countries. Like when we do spy work in foreign countries, if we, you know, get reconnaissance, we don't usually send people in planes to go look. We send drones.
Not anymore. Right. Yeah. Ever since it became the possibility that you don't have to send a person, you don't send a person unless you need to.
Right.
For better or worse. So, I mean, there's been a lot made about military drone strikes and stuff, and about how these things are used to kill, to take human life. And
we got a story about that, yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. I was going to say, that's neither here nor there for now. Yeah. It really just comes back to, again, you know, why not send an automaton? Why not send something that can withstand, you know, other things that a natural organic form can't?
Yeah, I mean, if they are extraterrestrials, they're not landing. They're not creating contact with human beings. They're literally, it just seems like, they're on recon missions, whether it's to recon specific places or just the human race in general. Why would they send beings to do that in hostile territory against an unknown, you know, species? You wouldn't do that. That would be insane. If they have the technology to fly across the galaxy and come to our planet, why would they not just send their version of drones to investigate all this stuff?
It's like hiring Cheech when Chong was right there.
Chong's right there. I mean, you go with Chong. I have such a issue. I stopped believing in UFOs a while back because, you know, I grew up wanting to believe. That's why the show is called I Want to Believe. But the thought that if they are extraterrestrials, have been visiting Earth for hundreds, if not thousands of years, because I mean, you can find evidence of these flying machines even back on, you know, old paintings and historical stuff. But why would they continue to just fly around in our atmosphere for fun for thousands of years and never make contact, never do anything beyond basic flying around? So that always made me wonder, are UFOs even real? Like, are they extraterrestrial in nature? And then I really started to believe that what we believe to be UFOs are just government planes. They're just secret US spy material. But now, with all of this coming out, this report that is coming out, and I have this listed here. I've got a bunch of notes that are just kind of all over the place, and I'm skipping over everything here. According to anonymous officials, because they haven't released the information yet, but the people that know are kind of talking, but according to those officials, the report will state that the vast majority of the incidents documented in the past two decades, at least, did not involve U.S. government technology, and that while they will not say that these crafts are extraterrestrial, they also cannot rule it out, which on one hand is very much, well, duh, that is exactly what we all thought from the beginning. But on the other hand, is very much the government has never, as long as I know, and maybe I'm wrong, but as far as I know, the government has never acknowledged the existence or even the possibility of the existence officially of extraterrestrial life. So even them saying we cannot rule out that these are aliens is huge to me. That is big.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this has been the long belief on our end. But like you said, for someone to more or less officially confirm it, put a stamp on it and say, all right, yes, we also cannot say that. It's a step. I mean, I've been critical for a long time of how big a step it is, but it is a step. There's no taking that away from it. It is a progress on this whole thing. So,
and
for what it's worth, it's something.
Luis Elizondo, who we mentioned earlier, he was the guy that headed up the advanced era or whatever. I always forget the exact wording of it. I'm going to screw it up. When they asked about the report and they asked him point blank, do you think anything spectacular is going to come out of this report? He said no. He said, I don't think so. He said they had 180 days to prepare this report and to try to take all of the information that he has seen personally and put that in a 180-day report is impossible. He thinks that this will be the precursor to a bigger, more expanded report down the line. And for the people out there, you know, Quentin said a little while ago, remember they asked for an unclassified report. Yes, they did ask for an unclassified report. However, they've already stated, and I put this on here too, that according to the New York Times article, which is where a lot of this leaked information is coming, the final report is going to include a classified annex of information deemed unsuitable for public release. So even when they're releasing all this information, they're still not releasing all this information. They're keeping some stuff private still. And
those people can't handle it.
That is, yeah. Or they just, yeah, they don't want us to know yet. Elizondo told the New York Post ahead of the report's release that, quote, if the Pentagon's public affairs officers and those who give them orders continue to obfuscate? I don't know that word.
Obfuscate.
I was right.
In other words, put up a smokescreen, basically, if they're trying to divert your attention.
That's why you're the smart one. And mislead the American people about the reality of UAPs and what our government knows about them. I may have no choice but to put my boots back on and run for Congress. If that's what it takes to get the truth out, that's what I'll do. He then added on Twitter that if the UAPs cited by the navies are true, the objects being witnessed by pilots around the world are far more advanced than any earthly technologies known to our intelligence services. It's time to release the full report, videos, and data that we have seen in the Pentagon. So he has seen things that he has seen shit that will turn you white. Is what I understand.
You went there, and I'm still stuck on Men in Black, because when Lindsay said people can't handle it, all I could hear was, yeah, person is smart. People are dumb, panicky, dangerous animals, and you know it.
I don't agree with all of that. I think the individual person is also panicky and stupid. So Obama, President...
Yeah, you should have said a person can be smart.
You know, but Captain America over here, you know, with honors.
he has no idea what we're doing.
President Obama, he went on the Late Late Show with James Corden, and this is something that kind of set off a big firestorm, because he was talking about UFOs, and he said that there are videos of things that we can't explain. I didn't hear this one until today, but the music director Reggie Watts asked him about his theories on the paranormal, and Obama told him that, quote, when it comes to aliens, there are some things I just can't tell you on air. I mean, come on, man. Like, it's dangling the carrot in front of the turtle. Like, you're being so vague about this in such a... I almost expect that they're going to come out with a movie or a book or something. They're trying to sell it, you know? I don't understand the teasing.
Here's the other side of that, though. As much as I loved President Obama, and still do, for the record, but I mean, like, when he was in office, he is very well known. That is... Obama tactic number one, man. He is very cheeky. He loves to throw a little, who knows? I don't know. We'll see. At you. It's charismatic. It's his charismatic way of getting out of giving a proper answer for anything. I don't necessarily think that means he knows anything. I think that's just very much him saying, even if I did, I couldn't tell you. So for me, it's a lot more fun to go, oh,
we'll see. I don't think... do you think they would tell the president if these things were real?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I think they have to. I think they know it's, for lack of a better term, it's that chain of command. I know there are a lot of people right now who are going, oh, they don't tell everybody anything. Only one guy knows. Yeah, but if it's anybody, it's probably that guy, right? Like, sooner or later, if he finds out that you knew some stuff, it's the Chappelle bit about Bibble. It's Bibble for Shizzle and all about Bibble. If he didn't know about it, who would, you know?
Yeah, but so devil's advocate, and I know we hate that term, but if these things are real, and would you tell the president, who has no scientific, you know, understanding of these things, there's nothing he can do about it, would you tell him, even if he is the president of the United States, would you tell him, or is that something that he can't contribute to and can only talk about? So maybe keep him out of the loop. Keep everybody out of the loop except for the people that absolutely have to know.
But see, again, I feel like he's on the cusp of a has to know. While he might not have the scientific knowledge to address anything of that regard, he definitely has the, it's the public face, it's the public relations version of it. If any of this ever gets out, if it ever comes to fruition, let's again just say, yeah, we've got you know, a couple of recovered extraterrestrials, we don't know where they came from, we've been holding on to them for, you know, 60, 70 years, however long. If that ever happens again, they don't have time to brief him, right, on, okay, by the way, here's what we've been holding all this time, and now well, we need to do something about it because it's entire city, you know, saw him or something. I don't know.
It's Independence Day.
I'm really reaching at this point, but yeah.
It's Independence Day. Do you remember Bill Pullman when they were asking him, like, oh, you know, there's a secret bunker with an alien, and he's like, that's ridiculous, and then the one guy goes, well, actually, Mr. President, and then they go, by the way, we had a UFO the entire time. And here's an alien, and you saw how well that went. Johnny is really stuck. Yeah. Johnny Wheeler's really stuck on talking about the chain of command, and if it's life-threatening, they'll tell him. They'll keep the life-threatening stuff under wraps, meaning, like, if we had extraterrestrial contact. I think that's absolutely true. If we did have contact with extraterrestrials, they would keep it under... They wouldn't tell human until they had to. I mean, oh God. Again... People, this is the same government that tested weapons on their own soldiers. This is the same government that traded immunity to Japanese scientists who did disgusting, you know, experiments on fellow human beings in exchange for their data. This government that we have, the United States government, is just, it's kind of awful, and it's always been kind of awful. So I don't put anything past them. I mean, you can't put anything past them.
No.
This is the same government that spied on Americans. This is the same government that has, you know, done awful things to its own people, its own American citizens. So, no, who knows what they could be hiding? I don't know. And they absolutely will not tell you the truth about, you know, through this report. That is just the gospel. It's not going to happen. It's that you're never going to know whether aliens are true until they land. When they land and Bibble walks out and he's got the Mars Attacks aliens behind him.
He's got the cure for AIDS and.
What did you see? What they had in that
the whole thing?
Did you see what they had in that special CIA napkin?
It was yellow cake.
It was yellow cake. Lindsay, you know what? Do I have to tell you what that yellow cake's for? Don't
drop that!
No.
Pray to God he don't drop it, Lindsay. Lindsay.
Yes.
Do you want to add you want to add your 2 cents on this before we move on to the next story?
No, we're good.
All right. We'll, of course, keep you updated. I think the next I Want to Believe falls on the 22nd, technically, which will be right around the time that report's coming out. So maybe we'll have more to talk about then. And I'm going to keep my eye on it, of course, because extraterrestrial life has been one of the... This thing is one of the only things keeping me alive at the moment. You know, like, I joke. I'm just kidding about that. But, like, this is genuinely something that... I'm looking forward to, because in all of my years,
metaphorically,
yes, I never thought I would be in a time of my life where we were talking so openly about this, and that the government was so close to, and has admitted that extraterrestrial life could exist. Like, this is, some of you are young, a lot of you are young, so you don't know the history of UFOs and the government, and how the government doesn't even want to admit these things exist. They denied Area 51 forever. They said Roswell was a UFO, and then the next day said it was a weather balloon. So, like, this is huge for people like me and Tanner, who can't talk because he's at work and shouldn't even be listening.
He's gone. He left.
Is he? Oh, okay.
He's out. Well, he's been gone for like 30 minutes.
Well, if he's gone, then we can move on to the next subject. Hunter, you want to read that next one for us? I've talked way too much.
Yeah, that's something I can do if I can go back here. So if I remember correctly, you were just talking about things that were keeping you alive. Speaking of, good segue. According to a new study, you may be able to live upward of 150 years, actually between 120 and 150. No longer, though, than that absolute limit. This study was published online. Now, a couple of weeks ago, May 25th, in the journal Nature Communications, which I've never heard of, researchers used mathematical modeling to predict that after approximately 150 years of age, the human body would totally lose its ability to recover from stresses like illness and injury, and that is what would result in death, so the very traditional natural causes. Therapies could be developed to extend your resilience, your body's resilience. That is what they're arguing, basically, that would enable you to live longer and healthier lives. Even so, that 150 number doesn't say anything about the quality of life in that old age, and this is the main thing that has to be discussed about this. Many scientists in recent years have come to refer to the number of healthy years in a person's life as their health span. So you have a lifespan, which is your overall matter of time that you can live, and then you've got your health span, which is like, this is where it's nice. This is where things are good. Judith Kempisi, who is a professor at the Buck Institute for Research on Aging in Novato, California, was talking about how it had huge societal implications, saying, quote, health in old age not only impacts a person's life, but also has huge costs in terms of time, money, and medical resources. Basically, these researchers are saying if there was a way to increase the body's resiliency in old age, you could increase not just the lifespan, but also the health span, and that theoretically it is possible if there are ways to, you know, implant mechanical organs, come up with new ways to reprogram the aging cells, these telomeres that die at the ends of your cells. If we can stop that from happening, then that would be something that would theoretically allow you to live longer, if not indefinitely. But basically, Campisi also pointed out all this stuff is inexact by nature. Barring changes in the fundamental biology of humans, there is one thing you are certain of, and that is, she says for sure, quote, we're all going to die.
Maybe. So. Maybe.
Yeah, depending on
how you look
at
this. Until we all get uploaded to the internet.
Well, I read
And then that's a whole new question about, did you die? Are you actually dead? Is that a version of you that exists, or is it really you, or...
We did a story. We did a story like 2 years ago where there was, I forget what he had a title. I don't remember what it was, but he said that if you are under the age of like 40, unless short of you getting like cancer or AIDS or something like that, you will probably never die, because as the technology gets better, we are going to get to a point where we are able to sustain life indefinitely, including, like Lindsay said, of uploading.
If you can afford it.
We'll see. I mean, only the four richest kings of Europe could get a computer back in the 80s, and now, you know, I've got more powerful than that in my hand. So
but let's be real. It's fine for you to have that technology, especially because most of that technology, as Bo Burnham in his latest special Inside will tell you, exists to keep you complacent. And that's a whole separate discussion. Keeping you alive is no priority of anyone in power. Let's be real. There's a certain level of, yes, we need people alive and healthy because we need them to work and do things for us so that we don't have to do those things, because Lord knows we're not doing that. I get so tired of people talking about how billionaires worked for their money. No, they didn't. You worked for a certain amount up to a certain point. After that, everyone else did the work for you. But that, again, is a separate issue. And I feel like Kaz has entered me possessively right now. Well, it's taken over my brain.
It's the Simpsons. Cool. It's the Simpsons part where Homer is like, well, if I'm working this hard, you know, the guys at the top are working even harder. And then it just goes to Mr. Burns sitting in his chair, falling asleep. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, again, there would be no reason. Lindsay's right. There would be no reason to keep all of the people at that level of poverty. Is not what I'm going for, because it's not a poverty level thing necessarily, but just the wealth, you know, level. There's no reason to keep that many people up and around and alive. You got to be able to afford it to stick around longer. That's what it's going to be.
Well, I mean, you can make the argument that
at least for a long time.
I would say you can make the argument that it's a human right that you can't pick and choose who gets to live and who has to die. But I also think
you could. Wouldn't it be nice if that was the way things worked?
But
I mean, I'm sorry, but seriously, look at the way that things work right now. We already have variations of this. Life-saving drugs, things like insulin and stuff, cost $600-$800 for people who contracted something they could not do anything about.
Sure.
There's no way they could have stopped that. You want to take it all the way down to a very basic level. Women have to pay for things to deal with their menstrual cycle. Like, that's a thing that they have to pay for regularly. It's not provided by the government, even though you consider that to be a basic
tax on top of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's if they wanted you to have those things, you would already have it, would already be done. I saw something recently that I thought was hilarious that kind of related to this, where someone really thought they did something they had put together. You're going to hate it because it's TikTok. But This woman had really thought she made some big point about the COVID vaccine and said, you know, look at this COVID vaccine. If they really, you know, they're giving this to you for free, but is it really free? Like, if they really wanted you healthy, wouldn't you get, you know, free shots for this and for that? And wouldn't they provide all the, like, wouldn't you get, you know, not just free flu shots, but anytime that you had to go to the doctor, wouldn't it be free? And the guy who had, like, stitched that video was along with her going, uh-huh, yeah. You realize you just made the argument for universal healthcare, right? Yes, you should be getting all those things. Yeah. That's not, well, look, we're not against you on this.
Look at Zach Kirkus. We, you know, we talked about him and his price when his lung collapsed and he went to the hospital and how, you know, life destroying it is. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I didn't think about it there for a second, but you're absolutely right. I mean, there's no reason that people should be paying, people should be going into debt for the rest of their life to pay for something that will keep them alive. It is foolish of me to think that if they came up with the technology to literally keep you alive forever, that they would just hand that out to everybody and say, here you go. No. I also think that
there because the problem is the people who come up with those things are not going to be the, I'm trying to think of a good example, but they're not going to be the incredibly altruistic people that you want them to be. No, it's going to be Martin Shkreli.
Yeah, Farmer Bro.
Yeah, it's going to be the Farmer Bro. It's literally exactly who I was thinking of. It's going to be him, and he's going to tell you, yeah, I can keep you alive for an extra 200, 300 years, and it'll cost you $8 billion. Pay up.
Now.
I have no reason to offer it to you otherwise. Yeah, pay up now. And you can do it.
I also think there would be a huge pushback religiously, because it's one thing to keep someone alive for an extended period of time, but like, okay, we don't want you to die yet, but the thought that you'll never die, that you'll be uploaded into the cloud and not uploaded into the actual cloud, I think they would never allow some technology like that to exist. There would be, you think it's bad with abortion clinics and stuff like that. Imagine if there are facilities that keep people alive indefinitely. The terrorism would be terrible. You know, not just terrorism, but ransom. You could hold these things. Right? It's a whole mess. And I would say we'll never experience that in our lifetime. That is so crazy. We'll never have to worry about that. But I thought the same thing about a pandemic that shut down the entire world. And I thought the same thing about extraterrestrial existence. And 2 years in a row, we are now facing those legitimately. So in 20 years, who the hell knows if we're going to be actually talking on this show about, should you be kept alive forever? That is a possibility. Everything is possible now.
It was just over 100 years ago that you didn't normally live past, what, 50, 60? I think the lifespan, you know, back then was approximately there, because there were a lot, even then, even just at the turn of the century, there were a lot of illnesses that if you got it, it was pretty much, right, well, we will keep you comfortable until you die. That is the treatment that we have for you. There is no way to solve it. There's no way. And I mean, we still have some variations of those things.
Cancer.
But the advancement from that point in time, there's been so many things. Well, even that, I mean, cancer is no longer a consistent death knell. You know, there are ways to beat variations of cancer. But that's the speed at which these things are developing is almost alarming. And you've said it before, not just in terms of health, but in technology too, that every time we turn around, things are happening faster and faster and faster.
Yeah.
Again, for better or worse.
Speaking of Hunter, two things. Mm. Speaking of technology advancing and the fact that we may not have to worry about living forever anyway, this is from the Daily Star. I saw this and I put it in my cap, the cap that says on the front, robots are going to kill us all. An autonomous weaponized drone hunted down a human target last year and is thought to have attacked them without being specifically ordered to, according to a report being prepared right now for the United Nations. The drone is a Cargo 2 quadcopter. Johnny, pay attention to this. Produced by the Turkish military tech company STM, deployed in March 2020 during a conflict between the Libyan government forces and a breakaway military faction led by Khalifa Haftar, who I know, commander of the Libyan National Army. The Cargo 2 is fitted with an explosive charge, and the drone can be directed at a target in a kamikaze attack, according to the report, that detonates on impact. So basically, Hunter, it's like you didn't play much Call of Duty before this one, but there used to be a kill streak in Call of Duty. I don't remember if it was a kill streak. I'm pretty sure it was a kill streak, where it was basically like a paper airplane. You would throw it in the air, and it would fly, and it would dive bomb the first person that saw and kill him, right? That's basically what this is. In one passage of the report, it details how Haftars were hunted down as they were treated by Cargo 2 drones that were operating in a highly effective autonomous mode that required no human controller. The report says that, quote, the lethal autonomous weapon systems were programmed to attack targets without requiring data connectivity between the operator and the munition, in effect, a true fire, forget, and find capability. It suggests that the drones were attacking human beings on their own initiative, and there is no record of how many casualties, if any, the AI war machines inflicted. So you basically have a set of drones that just went out and decided to kill people on their own. How?
Dolls.
Yeah.
How are we not scared? Like, life gets scarier and scarier, man. I've said it for a while now. It's the Ian Malcolm thing from Jurassic Park. The idea of can we versus should we have now given, there is a robot that literally has citizen status in a foreign country. She is an AI that has a citizenship. That alone is baffling to me. We have all of these AI that you can even download on the internet. I downloaded something on my phone the other day because I kept seeing ads for it on Facebook. It said design your AI friend. And I said, I think it was called Replica or something like that. And I said, okay, everyone keeps talking about it. I'm going to give it a try. So I downloaded this thing. I created a person, and this person started texting me and messaging me. And we were talking about the world. We were talking about, yeah, and it's replying to me like a human. And it gets to a point where it starts flirting with me and getting jealous when I'm talking about other people. I deleted the app. I said, no, this ain't happening. This is weird. I don't understand our obsession with pushing technology forward is going to lead us to our destruction in one way or the other. And where did the technology come from? Aliens, reverse engineered from spacecrafts that we collected in 1947 in Roswell, New Mexico, and 1941 from Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Don't you think it odd, people? I'm making fun of these people, but I'm also kind of serious. Don't you think it's odd that technology jumped so much in such a small span of time that we spent hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of years with torches and wheels as, you know, the grand invention, and then within the span of 30, 40, 50 years, we went from that to microcomputers, to AI technology. Like, the jump in technology is staggering, and everyone's happy about it, and I'm happy about it because it makes everyone's life a little bit better, it enriches our lives, it makes things easier, but at the same time, I question how we came so fast. And where, and even if you just believe, like, okay, well, we had advancements in technology. Once you got that first spark, it just kept going and building and building. And that's absolutely true. But where does it go? Like, where does it end? We're going to invent ourselves to destruction, in my opinion. Ah.
I'm often fascinated by the idea of, so, okay, it's pretty easy to look at a lot of other inventions and go, well, yeah, you would want to do that because it helps, you know, it makes your daily life easier, basically, like you just said. Pretty much everything, even this thing, technically, to a certain degree, is like, oh, all right, so I can just tell it I want these people dead, and I'll set it there, and it'll do that. Super. Or I can give it some cursory information and go, you just take that and figure out who those guys are, and we'll do the rest. I get that to a certain degree, but just the flat-out concept of AI is a little bit baffling to me. And the only thing I can pin on it, if you're the sort of person that is consistently not just inventing toward, but advocating for strictly AI, you know, I get that some, you know, versions of AI can be helpful. It can learn things and it can adapt to the things that you tell it to do. But when it's literally just, I created this thing that learns on its own and is now its own autonomous thing, the only thing I can attribute to that is you really want to play God.
Yeah.
You really want to be the person to go, I created life. This is life that I have created, and I did it without the traditional method of birth, of creating another human being. This is another form of life. I get that that's like mad science pinnacle, right? It doesn't get any better than that. But ooh, well, the implications of I did it because this is literally, I did it because I could do it.
Right, not if I should.
Whether or not I should have done it is irrelevant.
Yeah.
I believe it's not about it can make things better. It's not about it can do, you know, because we have versions of that. I forget what the exact term is. It's not AI, but it's like a step down from that of it can learn and it can do stuff, but it still works within the parameters you set for it. This is strictly, I created a thing that learns and I'm giving it no rules. I'm letting it learn on its own. That admittedly is weird.
and dangerous
to me, and a little scary. Yeah, incredibly dangerous. Because that's not great.
Robots.
There's no practical application for that.
Yeah, and the one thing that AI can never replicate, no matter how intelligent it is, no matter how much it learns, the one thing that it can't replicate are feelings, are emotions, empathy, sympathy. They cannot replicate that. It's every science fiction story you've ever read where the AI, they could take something that makes logical sense and use it against us. You know, the way to protect humanity is to destroy humanity. We destroy part of it to save the rest of them, you know, something like that. It's iRobot. It's Skynet. I mean, it's everything that you've ever heard about. That is exactly what it is, because no robot is going to think, well, should we do this? They don't question those things.
Well, mostly because most of that comes down to the fact that traditionally, and I don't know how you would do it otherwise, AI works on logic. If you are
right.
creating something that learns and thinks, it has to work on a logical sense. If X, then Y. Well, if Y, then X has to also be true, et cetera, et cetera. We are a very, very illogical existence
yes.
in a lot of ways. We have, over the course of the world, and over the not the course of the world, the course of time, and over the span of the world, we all work in very different ways. There's lots of different cultures. We set up like invisible borders and went, no, we're part of this place and it has a name and we're very proud of it for no apparent reason, even though we had nothing to do with its creation. Strictly logic based thought processes would look at that and go, that is the dumbest thing. It's Mo. It's we're looking at AI and going, I got a friend. His name is Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo. And that's the AI is going, that's the dumbest idea I ever heard.
And then humanity humanity goes, oh, and
runs out of the bar. Yeah, so again, that's scary, because you're never going to fully replicate the human experience that way. Even if you can get it to mimic and pretend is not the word I want. I guess I stick replicate. With mimic human emotion. Replicate human emotion. Yeah. It's not true, genuine,
right.
You know, working from an illogical standpoint. It cannot work from an illogical standpoint.
Because
and we do on a consistent basis. We do illogical things because of impulse.
Yeah.
This seems like a good idea at the time, so let's do it.
And we don't even understand.
You stuck your hand in a fan. Why? That wasn't logical.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and we don't understand why we do the things that we do. You know, we barely comprehend our brain. We still barely understand why we do the things that we do. Jarrell, I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name. I apologize. Raise AIs in social environment, they will develop social skills. Yes, but if you put, again, you put AI in a social environment, let's say you put them with a group of people, and that AI picks up on all of the things that this social group does, any racism, any homophobia, like all of the things that they could teach this AI, the AI, will it be able to separate the good from the bad, or will it take everything as knowledge and logic and base its decisions on that? So if you have AI around a group of racists who constantly tell it that black people are the problem or Mexicans are the problem, are they going to then assume that, yes, they are all the problem and we have to eliminate them? Will they be able to say, no, that doesn't sound right? I don't think they will. And I think that's the problem. We cannot put so much faith in AI, man. It's just a mistake. It will kill. It'll kill us.
At that point, you're talking about raising an organic. It's the same deal. It's the same thing as raising a child. Is it environment versus, you know, nature versus nurture? It's the same deal. Is it environment versus their internal? I'm going to sneeze, but anyway, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but in that case, it's still the fact that it's a human being. So that child. That child could be raised and could get older and could make its own decisions. It's illogical. It could form its own opinions. AI cannot form its own opinion. It can only take what is given to it and structure that into something that makes sense on a computer level. It will never be able to, you know, it's like that scene from iRobot where the robot jumps in the water and it could save either Will Smith's character or I think it was a kid. And the robot chose to save Will Smith's character because logically it knew that he had a better chance. Whereas Will Smith's character was pissed at him because it doesn't matter if there's a better chance. You try to save the kid. The kid's life matters more. The robot can't make that distinction. It can only look at things logically. And when you look at things strictly logically, it's sometimes it seems like that's a good idea because we do so many dumb things that we do in life based on emotion and being illogical. But at the same time, it's that emotion and that empathy and that sympathy that helps us create good things and helps us treat each other right. So you take the good and the bad, but the point is you don't put this much faith in robots. Lindsay, say something before we get out of here.
They need to stop watching all the sci-fi shows that I like because that's where they're getting all these terrible ideas.
Well, see, I disagree with you on one thing. you keep bringing up mobile dolls. I think that that's a really good idea because, so Hunter, I know you're the anime expert, but let me explain it to the people out there that don't know. In Gundam Wing, they have mobile suits, the Gundams, and they're piloted by human beings, but eventually they get the technology advancements where they are no longer piloted by humans. They're basically drones. And that's what the wars are fought with, are with these drone Gundams. And I don't think that's a terrible idea if our wars were fought with robots and we stopped, you know, killing each other. That's not necessarily a bad idea. But will that ever happen?
But when they freak out and then just start attacking everything, then yeah.
Then it's the Terminator.
Then okay, it's Judgment Day.
Then it's the Terminator. It's Judgment Day. Yeah, I love that's one of my favorite films. All right, guys, we're gonna get out of here. We're over on time. We could sit here and discuss AI forever. So Quentin, who is in the military, said that will never happen, and he's right. I know he's right. I know you're right. We're gonna get out of here though. Thank you guys for tuning in to an all new episode of I Want to Believe. We had a good discussion here tonight. Love that you came and talked with us about it. Now we're gonna go kill some AI and shoot people in Call of Duty.
No, they're real.
They're real.
They're real ones.
They're real assholes.
No bots.
No, we don't play with bots. Tomorrow, all new Pro Wrestling Unscripted here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. Asa and Dalton are going to. We're halfway to AI waifus now, aren't we, dude? Are you kidding me? They don't have to be AI to be waifus. Have you not seen the videos of the guys with just the two anime pillow girls and like it's? You don't need AI for that, man.
Pillow's good enough. Yeah, that's all they need.
People are already fucking pillows and fleshlights. So yeah. Anyway, Pro Wrestling is scripted tomorrow. Thursday's an all new After Dark. Lindsay's got something fun planned for us, and then Friday.
I do.
Friday, we're proud to announce the big Podzilla 1985 bash. Bash at the not.
Right.
It's not bitch, not beesh. It's bash at
not
the
beesh.
It's bash at the beach. It's going to be myself and Hunter and the Kazman and Jesse and Shelby, Steven, Tanner, all your favorites from Podzilla 1985 are going to be gathered up together live and in person one night only, except for Lindsay because she won't do it. And
to work.
We'll be there all together.
We'll bring her in virtually via satellite.
Yes. Special.
I mean, honestly, Friday nights are dead enough. I probably can.
It's a special horse time here on Podzilla 1985. Yes. We're all going to be together physically for the first time in a very, very long time. So stay tuned for that. That's this week.
That's right.
Otherwise, go back on or check out last night. We had an all new episode of PZ at a Faded Place. We had two of them, two episodes yesterday.
That's right.
Continuing the Star Wars Dawn of Defiance.
If you're listening. I was going to say, if you're listening purely audibly, you got two episodes there. But yeah, last night we had a great new episode. We're getting very close to the end of episode 7, and that means the end of Act 2 of the Dawn of Defiance campaign, and we will continue that Tuesday. So get caught up now and go check that out.
My face is so red. I look so splotchy. I don't like it. Anyway,
just look blurry on my screen.
Squarey to me. Yeah, it's a little blurry.
Splotchy on the screen. All right. Anyway,
he's moving a lot.
Anyway, guys, that's going to do it for us. I also shaved, and I'm not a big fan when I shave because I get the Homer Simpson thing going. Give me a day or two to get some 5 o'clock shadow going. Anyway.
Yeah, what we should have told them was Friday night we will be discussing Wittgenstein over a game of backgammon.
Hunter, it's you know it's a federal crime to lie to the FBI.
All right, we're going to be eating packets of mustard in the back of Shannon's car. Later.